Although most of the characters in Chekhov's Ivanov suffer from profound melancholy, moral and financial stinginess, oppressive boredom, and in one case, terminal illness, the CSC repertory's version of it is surprisingly alive, engaging, and at times quite funny. Ethan Hawke stars as the title character. Austin Pendleton directs, is also playing Lebedev. And it has just seen its run extended into December 9th, and I'm very pleased that it brings Ethan Hawke and Austin Pendleton back to our show. Welcome back.
Thanks for having us.
When we booked you on the show, we didn't realize that there was going to be a Hurricane Sandy. How has that affected the run?
Well, it's been incredibly disruptive. I mean, yeah. One doesn't really. There's so many people who have very serious things of which to complain about, but ours is not that. We just had to cancel a ton of shows.
There was no electricity.
There was no electricity in the theater. And the funny thing is, in 20 years of acting in plays in New York, I've only had one show canceled, which was for September 11th. Mm-hmm. And we had a full week canceled. I couldn't, every night I couldn't wrap my brain around that we weren't really having a show. Right. And worse than that, it was in previews for us, and so we couldn't rehearse, which was very difficult for our process.
Mm-hmm. We did rehearse once or twice at the Midtown rehearsal space where we had rehearsed originally. But other than that, we couldn't rehearse in the theater.
In costume and all that stuff was shut down.
Yeah. Now, this is Chekhov's first play.
Well, he wrote a couple before this, but this was the first one that got it all well known.
Uh-huh.
And yet it is very different from the ones that come after it.
In what ways?
Well, first of all, it centers around one person. There are a lot of characters in there, a lot of wonderful characters in it. But it's called Ivanov, and it's about Ivanov, whereas Uncle Vanya is about, there's a character, Uncle Vanya, but they're also three or four equally important characters. Mm-hmm. But this one is, every scene is about Ivanov's affliction and how he and different people are dealing with it.
Is this the play where Chekhov's gun rule comes from?
Well, I don't know, but it certainly applies.
How many of Chekhov's plays have you directed now?
Five.
Wow. Is it your goal to do all of them?
I haven't had a goal in my profession about anything in about 50 years. But you just don't. I just saw an interview in British Equity magazine that somebody showed me with Jolie Richardson, and she said, actually, career goals don't work for actors, and by extension for directors.
Although actors will say, you know, someday I want to play a certain role.
I stopped that around 45 years ago because nothing would ever work out.
Well, Ethan, you've already played Hamlet.
Yeah.
Ivanov, in a way, is kind of like a Hamlet character, isn't he?
People like to call it the Russian Hamlet. And one could imagine that Chekhov was influenced by seeing Hamlet. But I always imagine Chekhov watching Hamlet and thinking, this is all so fake. And then going home and writing Ivanov. Because his portrait of a suicidal depressive is an incredibly realistic one and lacks the, Byron-esque poetry pose of, you know, the anguished, tortured artist. It's more that, like what it's like when your friend is actually depressed, how annoying they can be.
How terrifying it can be, too.
But also with mm-hmm. Shakespeare, we have the language of the 16th, 17th century. With Chekhov, most of the productions are modern translations.
Yeah.
So we can make Ivanov into a more modern character.
It can be more accessible because of that. And I'll say in the career goals, I know exactly what you and Jolie are talking about, Austin. I mean, you know, having an agenda with your professional life is certainly a way to be painted a fool very quickly.
You don't want to play Lear when you get a little older?
Well, what I was going to say is that one of my career goals was to be directed by Austin and Chekhov. I mean, if one has those kinds of something for which you aspire. Austin came to see me in a production of The Seagull when I was 21, which was my Broadway debut. And it was really, I was received absolutely atrocious reviews and was incredibly depressed, and discovered very quickly one of the hardest things about the life of a theater actor is when you get bad reviews, you have to go on that night, which is a particular challenge for the human soul that is difficult. And Austin came...
Well, but this is why actors tell me they don't read their reviews. But of course, if you get really bad reviews, you're going to find out.
Oh, you know.
You know. People come up, by the way.
People come to you on the street and say, how are you?
Yeah. You know. Or, I hate him. Why would he do that?
Yeah, right. And, right.
Who was that, Clive Barnes?
What? It was Frank Rich at the time. But I remember, Frank Rich wasn't the one who broke my heart. It was the John Simon review that said, Ethan Hawke plays Constantine more concerned with his pimples than his poetry. Perhaps he should spend more time at the dermatologist and less at the actor's studio. So that was a hard one to get over. But the point of the story
You had to realize it came from John Simon.
You know, to be honest, I was 21 years old. I had no context for... You know, I didn't know that writer writes lots of funny... Witty. I just took it all very personally.
Didn't he give you a scathing review as well, Austin?
All my life. And then we made friends. And he's continued to give me scathing reviews.
I like that about him.
But we've become good friends. I like him.
But the point is not the bet. The truth is that if you really want to be a professional artist, you have to let people critique you. Mm-hmm. And they have to do it with their full intelligence and whatever.
At least he can write.
Yeah, you know.
He can write and he can think and he can know. You know, some of them don't.
But my point is not about critics. My point was about you coming to see the show. Yeah, uh-huh. And we went out afterwards, and listening to Austin talk about Chekhov, I was so moved and re-inspired to attack the part. And then a couple years ago, I did a production of The Cherry Orchard that Sam Mendes directed, and we took it all over the world. It was part of this bridge project. We did Shakespeare and Chekhov, and we did this tour. And backstage, I had this book. I think it's called An Actor's Chekhov, and it's these interviews with Austin and Blythe Danner and Frank Langella and Chris Walken, all about Nikos,
Olympia,
all these great actors.
And Louis.
Mm-hmm. Talking about this kind of American Chekhov, this productions they had. And I remember thinking, God, I really want to work with Austin with Chekhov. And then I saw your production, The Three Sisters, which is my favorite Chekhov I've ever seen. And so I feel, as far as career goals, I always wanted this opportunity to work on Chekhov with Austin, and I'm getting the experience, so I'm grateful for it.
So, Austin, how did you decide which translation to use?
I've directed three Chekhovs at CSC, Uncle Vanya 4 years ago now, Three Sisters almost 2 years ago now, okay. When we did Uncle Vanya, Louis Zorich was in it, as he was in Three Sisters, and as he was in Ivana for a while. And I've known him it'll be 50 years in this June, I've known him, and we've worked together a lot. I think he's extraordinary. But anyway, he said to me before we did Vanya, hey, Austin, you got to use Carol Rocamora's translation. So I did. I didn't even read it. I mean, I'd read her of some other things she said, and I like it. I said, okay. And then I read it, and indeed I liked it. And then she was around.
Which was just so priceless.
And so with
us.
Ivanov, I wanted to do that again because she's great around. She's very flexible. Ethan spent some time with her about certain small changes.
I'd imagine that a translator has probably thought as much about a play as even the playwright, maybe even more, because the translator has to figure out just what was going on and what's going to make
this really
work.
They're really chasing the muse, and in a lot of ways it's harder to chase the muse than just experience the muse.
Way harder, I would think.
Yeah. There's a great Kundera line about translations that you know, translations are like women. If they're beautiful, they're not faithful, and if they're faithful, they're not beautiful. <you know?
laughs> Well...
Write Don't to laugh Ethan too
about
hard.
That one. Or write to Kundera like about anymore. That one. My guests are Ethan Hawke and Austin Pendleton. We're talking about a new production of an old play, Chekhov's first really major work, Ivanov, that's at the CSC Theater on East 13th Street. Its run has been extended into December 9th because of the lost days, I'd imagine.
Well, no, that was extended even before all that. The day that the single tickets went on, so, you know, beyond the subscribers, was the biggest day of single ticket sales they've ever had at that theater. So instantly, they extend it even before the storm.
Now, many people argue over whether you should play Chekhov straight as comedy. Is that something you believe?
Well, I think I don't get into the whole argument. The plays are tragic. The plays are funny. These two things bleed and blur together all through them. And if you decide you're going to emphasize one or the other, I think you just get in trouble. Of course, you get in trouble. There's all kinds of ways to get in trouble with Chekhov, but that's one of them.
Like my 14-year-old came to see the show, and she said what was so confusing about it was there were so many times where I wasn't sure if I was about to laugh or about to cry. And I said, that's the feeling that is unique to – I mean, it's why people are doing Anton Chekhov 100-and-something years later. That's exactly it.
We laugh, and then that actually makes the tragedy more powerful. And in this case, you're playing a character. I'd imagine you're exhausted at the end of every performance. He's an anti-hero.
Yeah.
Ivanov can't even be happy at his own wedding. most actors looking for a melancholic character would have been drawn to Hamlet, but you get to hold that skull and speak profoundly about death when you do that. Here, you just have to pull it off on your own.
Well, Shakespeare gives you some of the most beautiful lines of poetry ever written in that play. But this play is something else. I mean, I would liken this play more to John Cassavetes' The Woman Under the Influence than I would Shakespeare's Hamlet.
Yeah, that's terrific.
I mean, he's trying to play another game.
Well, as an audience member, we're never quite clear as to whether he's an opportunist or not, or how much, whether there's even a little bit of a villain. Do you have to decide that for yourself when you're developing this character? Is that something that you try to push an actor into thinking about?
Well, how shall I say this without sounding like an idiot? Oh, don't worry about that, Austin. Okay. I don't think
John Simon is listening, so be careful.
John Simon's my friend. He emailed me a year ago when the musical A Minister's Wife was on that I'd written the script for at Lincoln Center, which I guess he didn't like. He said, "You may have noticed I did not review A Minister's Wife. That was out of respect for our friendship." And I emailed him back effectively saying, "That's never stopped you before." But anyway,
Well, how much of this character?
What I'm about to say is, this is going to sound weird, but I try not to think interpretively about a character. I try not to get an overall interpretation of a character. I like to say, okay, here's where he starts, and here or she, whoever, this is where he starts, this is where he ends, and now let's take it scene by scene. Now, this play opens up whole questions of what is a hero and what is a villain. A real spotless hero, I've come to think in life, is someone who's chemically very blessed. He's not prone to depression. He's not prone to... As soon as someone is seriously afflicted with depression, their attempt to keep going at all is heroic, but the affliction also leads them to what people would call being a villain. So you just take it scene by scene. You don't say, I see the role as a hero, or I see the role as a villain, or I see... You know what I mean? I try to approach every role that way.
Well, there is a question of whether Ivanov has married his first wife, Avdotya. How do you pronounce her name?
Anna Petrovna.
Anna Petrovna. Yeah. For her dowry.
The whole Jewish question comes up. He loved her.
For me, I think those kind of questions are the same kind of questions we do about our friends.
Totally,
you know,
totally.
I mean, he married her just because, you know, she's rich, or he married her. I had that. I mean, not to be boring, but I remember reading some of those hateful things about me during my divorce. I mean, I remember I got divorced, and I would read things that people would project the most ignoble intentions onto you. And it's kind of amazing in how, and where there's smoke, it was like, oh, well, it's true that there's some version
But wait, he does get depressed when she loses her dowry.
Not necessarily. She lost her Gisette dowry 5 years ago, and he's been depressed for the last year.
She's depressed because she's losing his love, and she's losing his love because he's entering into this depression, which basically has nothing to do with her. What causes the depression is not her or the fact that her parents have cut her off.
I think what Chekhov is doing that I think is so brilliant and very challenging for the audience is that for the people that I've known in my life who've suffered from really serious depression, there's not one reason that you can point to. It's not like this happened and then the person was irrevocably depressed.
It's also a chemical thing, although Chekhov may not have been aware of it. He kind of understood it.
Chekhov was a doctor. I think he was very aware of this invisible illness, and I think that Ivanov is very sick.
Now, you've never done Cherry Orchard, Austin?
I've both acted in it and directed it on other occasions, at Williamstown, at other places, at Olympia's Theater in New Jersey when she had it, the whole theater.
Well, so, I predict people will find this production of Ivanov fascinating. It's at the CSC Theater on East 13th Street, and it runs through December 9th, starring Ethan Hawke, directed by Austin Pendleton, who also plays Lebedev. And I'm so pleased that you came by. Just one more thing.
Sure.
Should we talk about Chekhov's gun law?
Yeah, you could talk about it. And it actually, this play is an example of it. He said, if there's a rifle hanging on the wall in the first act, it needs to go off by the end of the play.
And that's something that people have, a rule that people have lived by ever since.
Yeah, and then Chekhov broke that law in The Cherry Orchard, actually.
Of course.
Yeah.
Thank you both so much.
All right.
Thank you,